The Dawn Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
My name is Ainsley, and I am a Minnesota athlete. I play volleyball. I am here on behalf of many other girls, friends, and teammates. Why? Because many other girls in Minnesota are fearful of the consequences of our message, which is simple. And we don't ask for much considering how far we have come and how hard my grandmother fought to get us here. Our message is only this. Girls belong in girls' sports. However, many girls are fearful of consequences like retaliation at school, losing their spots on teams, or even friendships, just for standing up for our rights. Our rights to exist as young girls who will one day be women with daughters of our own. There should be no fear in asking you to preserve one of our country's most basic rights, equality. Without this bill, girls could be forced to sit on sidelines by men and boys who take their place. That leaves us to believe that girls in Minnesota just don't matter. My good friend was on the USA volleyball team last summer. She told me, quote, "I sat behind the 6'4" man serving the volleyball and thought, I could never receive that.
She's an eighth grader,
friend,
by the way, this girl.
My friend is a 6'3" guard. What is the point of girls' and boys' teams if males can play on girls-only teams?
Yeah.
Members, fellow Minnesotans, this isn't easy for me. I'm a very agreeable person who hates controversy, but I love truth. I thought about my volleyball team, the little girls I babysit, my own hopes and dreams, and one day being a mother of daughters. I want to say I fought for them and their future. Members, please preserve our safety and the opportunity we are entitled to under the law in women's sports and pass House File 12. Thank you.
So that was Ainsley, eighth grader. So impressive. Maybe we should put all of this together. Think about what happened in Hollywood. You know what? As a female, as an American girl or woman, you know what? You should shut up and take it. Maybe you should be a sex worker because that's apparently what you should aspire to be. Which is aspiring to what? Serve and not lead. It's just ridiculous to me. Are we going to go to Beth Ann now? Can we go to Beth Ann Rossica, our education expert, Beth Ann Rossica? I know you've been very busy reporting on Trump's executive order, the law of the land, and all of the different states, including areas of Pennsylvania, where I'm broadcasting from. But it's happening nationally, people pushing back against this. You know, Beth Ann, have you been able to hear Ainsley, and can you react to what's going on in Minnesota and across the country?
Well, I did listen to Ainsley, and as you said, Dawn, what a beautifully poised young woman to be able to speak out that articulately and fearful, you know, fearful of what might happen to her and the retaliation. And this isn't just in Minnesota. This is happening in Pennsylvania. This is happening in our listening area. I just published a piece this weekend in Broad and Liberty on Saturday that talks about this specifically. The state championship indoor track meet was this Sunday, yesterday, at Penn State, and there was a boy who competed in the 200-meter girls race. Now, states is the, you know, the final activity. It's the biggest, the most competitive event for that track season. And that boy took a spot from a girl because there are a limited number of entries. So he took a spot from a girl who then couldn't compete in Pennsylvania.
Isn't that illegal?
Well, so here's the problem, Dawn. Here is the problem. And, you know, President Trump, so this is why executive orders are great to get people's attention, mm-hmm. but we need legislation. The executive orders aren't enough, and not just because the next president can overturn it, but because it's not easily enforced. So in Pennsylvania, I pressed the PIAA, the Pennsylvania Interscholastic Athletic Association. They're the regulatory body of secondary sports in Pennsylvania. So think about like the NCAA regulates college sports, the PIAA regulates high school sports in Pennsylvania. So I kept pressing them and pressing them, and they finally announced that they were going to comply with the executive order. And they said that, you know, sex is sex, but they have a clause in there that says if there's a question of the student's sex, the decision of the school will be accepted by the PIAA. And they're encouraging people to schools to consult with their lawyers in order to comply.
Yeah.
So they gave them a loophole, yeah, just like the NCAA is giving the schools a loophole because they say, well, if your birth certificate, we'll take whatever your birth certificate says. Well, in Pennsylvania, you can go and change your birth certificate to change. I could change my birth certificate to say that I'm a male. So these are all, it's all wishy-washy. It's all loopholes. So this boy, this high school boy, competed at this meet yesterday, taking a spot from a girl. And I've talked with parents. I have an anonymous quote from a parent. Again, these mothers, they're afraid also to speak out. Mm-hmm. You know, they get lambasted on social media for anything that they could possibly say. The girls are afraid. And one of the girls, when she complained, when she lost to this biological boy, you know, the school told her, well, you can't say that. You can't complain about that. That's not, you know, that's not nice. You can't speak like that. So these girls are being shut down. Now, interestingly, I also report on this in the article. There is a mom in the region who has filed a lawsuit.
Is this Quakertown?
Yes, this is Quakertown. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I generally don't use names because I don't think it's appropriate. I don't want anybody getting, you know, harassed or retaliated against. But yes, there is a lawsuit by a mom on behalf of her daughter for having to compete against a biological boy in the fall, even before all of this, even before the executive order. And there is actually a hearing in federal court in the Eastern District of Pennsylvania in Philly tomorrow, because her lawyer has asked for a temporary restraining order to prevent any more boys from competing in girls' sports until, you know, the judge can render a ruling in the case, which, you know, could be a year. So this to me is a really big deal. If this judge issues that restraining order, then I don't see how these school districts are going to allow this to continue. But I mean, we already saw Philadelphia School District announce,
yes,
they are not going to comply with PIAA. And I sent a request to comment to PIAA and I said, so what are you going to do with Philadelphia School District? And they said, well, we're aware that they've said that they're not going to comply, but as far as we know, they don't have anybody competing. Well, this is going to get very, very interesting over the next couple of months if Philadelphia has a boy, you know, that is going to compete in a girls' sport. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, and a piece of this, and I feel for these families, you know, because now, I mean, to have to go to court, and I do wonder, it's a 14th Amendment, it's under a constitutional case, so I wonder if it'll make its way to the Supreme Court of the United States. That would probably be the best case scenario, in my humble opinion, because if it
makes, I agree.
Right?
Because, yeah, I think that this issue is going to have to be resolved at the Supreme Court. I mean, I've been saying that all along, that the executive orders are not going to be enough. People are going to push back. I saw Springfield Township School District issued a statement that basically said, we're not going to comply with the executive order, and we're willing to forego the couple million dollars in federal funds that we get. We don't need the money. That's what they said. They put out a statement about that. And the part that I find really ironic about this, Dawn, mm-hmm, is that these are the same school districts 5 years ago, 4 years ago, who said, we have to close schools. We have to forcibly mask children, because if we don't, we don't get the federal money. But now they don't care about the federal money. Now, mm-hmm, they're saying, well, we disagree with this, so we're going to skip the federal funding, and I guess if we have to raise taxes, we'll raise taxes. So I find it very ironic that they're picking and choosing what they want to follow in federal law or executive order based on their policy position.
So the school district, it's the Colonial School District. Are they saying that they are not going, here in Pennsylvania, are they saying that they would forego the federal funding?
They have not said anything.
Okay,
they have not said anything.
They
haven't commented. But, you know, the other interesting part of all this, Dawn, and I think this is what sometimes gets lost in this conversation, and I really tried to make this point in my last article on Saturday, is that We need unequivocal policies, not just to protect girls, but also to protect these transgender kids, okay? Mm-hmm. Whether you agree that a boy should be able to transition to become a girl, whether you agree that his parents should let him do that, to me, that's neither here nor there. Those kids don't deserve to be bullied and picked on mm-hmm. either. And these wishy-washy Agreed. Policies open the door for these kids to be targets.
Yeah.
I mean, rightfully so. These girls are angry. They work hard. They're trying to earn scholarships. They're trying to go to college. And their spots are being taken by boys. So, of course, they're mad. Of course, people are going to say awful things to them. And if we had an unequivocal policy that said, no boys in girls' sports, these kids, these transgender kids, wouldn't even think that this was a possibility. Their parents wouldn't encourage them to do these things. So it's as much as a protection for them as mm-hmm. it is for our girls. And I don't think that the liberal community sees it that way.
Yeah, and you know, I think that you bring up a great point, Beth Ann Rossica, and that is when we think about all the kids involved, that basically these policies that are now wishy-washy because at the federal, obviously, you know, the executive order exists, but now it's this is going to make its way through the courts. As Rich Zeoli says, the lawyers always win, you know, but
right.
But the truth is that it puts all of these kids, it pits them against each other. And I agree with you. Like I know so many families. I was just talking to somebody over the weekend. There are schools even where they're upset because maybe a biological male is getting a girl's award in a middle school. I mean, this is happening
right.
over and over.
Yes.
And I understand even schools, they want to empower different kids who are going through things, but they don't. What's weird, here's the weird piece of this. Let's say that you had a white kid who identified as African-American. As
right,
black.
Right.
Said, I identify as black. So I want to get whatever NAACP award. It would never happen. Remember what happened when a white
right.
woman who I think had mental health issues because her parents adopted black kids. Remember that whole controversy?
Yes.
And
yes.
everybody said, oh my gosh, she's really a white woman. Shame on her. She can't lead the NAACP. That's really what this is to me. I mean, these are biological males with all the apparatus of a male, penises and the whole nine yards. They weren't born with both parts. That's not what this is. It's not physiological.
Right. Exactly.
That's not what
right.
we're talking about. But I just feel that it's cruel. At the end of the day, this is cruel.
It is. I agree. And that's the part that I think nobody's really talking about, that it's not just unfair and wrong for the girls. It's unfair and wrong for these kids. They're already confused. Gender dysphoria is a mental health condition. It is in the DSM-5. I mean, these kids have mental health issues, and they don't need to be the target further. And these policies leave the door open to allow all of this to happen. And it needs to be unequivocal. I mean, listen, I have a high school son who runs the track and cross country. And, you know, listen, he didn't make it to states because he wasn't fast enough. Was he disappointed? Would he have liked to have gone to states? Of course he would, as would every other, you know, male athlete out there. But the reality is that these are the times, this is the cutoff, and you either make it or you don't. And that's the world we live in. We live in a meritocracy. We live in a competitive environment. You either make the cut or you don't make the cut. And by changing and wiggling around these standards to allow a boy to compete with girls is wrong for everyone.
Yeah.
And the fact that there are people who don't understand that is just beyond me. I really, these school districts have just gone so far down a rabbit hole to try to not hurt anybody's feelings that they've lost all common sense.
Beth Ann Rossica, I know we're up against it, but thank you. And, you know, you put it so beautifully, because by doing this, as you're saying, with great sensitivity to all sides on this, it's a disservice to everybody. It's Dan whispered in my ear, gender appropriation. That was the term I was trying to think of. But really, what's inappropriate are these policies, as you've been calling them out. Beth Ann Rossica, we really appreciate you. Thank you.
Dawn Stensland from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.